the Wood County Prevention Coalition podcast, dedicated to bringing educational information to prevent substance abuse and help individuals achieve a healthy well-being.
Hello, my name is Tina Bradley, and you are listening to the Wood County Prevention Coalition podcast. I am the coordinator for the Drug-Free Communities Grant, as well as Prevention Coalition in Wood County, Ohio. Today's subject is community liaisons and resources. For those who don't know us yet, I'll read our mission statement. We are a coalition of compassionate community members working together to coordinate high-quality programs for the prevention of youth substance abuse in Wood County. And our vision is helping youth be drug-free, responsible, and productive citizens. Our tagline is Uniting for a Drug-Free Wood County Since 2004. Let's take a few moments before we start to do further introductions of the group we have assembled here today.
Angela Patchen, Prevention Program Manager.
Hi, I'm Kyle Clark, Prevention Education Director at the Wood County ESC.
And I'm Sarah Neidefer, Family and Community Partnership Liaison.
Thanks for joining us today, folks. Sarah, can you provide us with an overview of the programs you administer? They're great resources for our community.
Sure. As the Family and Community Partnership Liaison for the ESC, my main goal is to connect families in Wood County with community resources that are available to them. So particular school districts will contact me with a family in need, and then I will assess what the needs are that they have, and then I will connect them with those resources. And then I also run a grandparent raising grandchildren and kinship group in the county in three different locations, which is a resource for those who are raising children other than their own to come together for support. I also oversee the credit recovery program in Wood County for high school youth who are in need of credits to graduate, as well as a mentoring program that we're starting in the county that will be at a few select school districts that will pair adults and youth in need with mentors. And also a collaboration with Wood County Juvenile Court in the Intervention and Diversion Program. And so now we house the Community Diversion Program here at the ESC to try to divert youth from being immersed into the juvenile justice system.
Wonderful. Great resources for the community. How would people, if they're interested and want more information on any of those aspects, any of those programs you mentioned, what's the best way to get a hold of you and your staff? I'm assuming they call our 419-354-9010 number, but is there a specific extension you want to provide?
Yep, they could just ask for myself when they call in, or ask for extension 136.
Perfect, perfect. And I'm sure there's information on the website, too, about all of these programs that they could get more. The ESC website.
Yep, on the ESC website, if you go into the prevention tab, you will find information as far as the grandparent group. And then if you go into the ESC website, there's also another tab that talks about credit recovery.
Great, thanks. Perfect, perfect. Angie, I'm guessing these offerings have a relatable tie to the Wood County Educational Service Center's prevention efforts. Can you expound upon this, please?
I can try. I think that a lot of what Sarah is doing helps with the mental health of students and their social emotional learning, supporting families, you know, so that the kids are coming to school healthier and well-adjusted, and that kind of thing is certainly helpful. As well as, we're trying to prevent kids from using substances or, you know, abusing substances. So again, just all of these things help with making the families healthier and supporting them. And then, you know, again, that will trickle down to the children and help them be a little bit healthier when they're at school. And having their needs met is really important, and keeping them in school and keeping them engaged
Yeah, definitely. And I know with the ACEs scores having been kind of up in terms of the number of youth affected by adverse childhood experiences, especially after the pandemic, you know, this last round 2022 survey, it looked like, you know, now more than ever, we need this type of programming resources available to our community. So, Kyle, you're a history expert. I think you and I are both undergrad history majors, so we have that in common. But I know you can provide some insights on how these programs came about, maybe the history of their...
Well, I think for a long time, Tina, schools, communities have been trying to figure out how to re-engage parents in the programming, making that final connection between homes and school and student. And COVID has certainly affected everyone in the country. And most of these programs have been widened with COVID relief funding from the federal government. The scope of them, the breadth of what we're trying to do in reaching parents. So through a program from the state of Ohio who received their funds from the federal government, about 4 years ago, we started receiving money specifically for a community liaison. And that person was supposed to reach out to the schools to see what we could do or they could do in helping bring parents back in touch with what's going on at school and where kids are, what kind of needs they have. Are they even attending school? If they are, what are their grades like? We know that across the whole country, we've lost some educational gain achievement that we have been marking and evaluating over the years. Ohio is no different. And this was meant to try to re-engage some of those students. So the first thing I think Sarah and her predecessor tried to do was put together a whole packet of resources here in the county that we could share with schools on how they could address some of the needs that they were identifying. One of the biggest needs we saw in the county was attendance. And so some of the programs we've gone through at that point have been geared on trying to increase student engagement in school and student academic recovery. And from that standpoint, we've also identified several things that we are facing in this country today and in Ohio and in Wood County. And that's the fact that we have an opioid epidemic, and that has left a lot of our grandparents or kinship care issues with students. We have many, many, many more kids now that rely on grandparents or relatives because their parents, for some reason or another, are unable to attend to the needs of their kids. In some cases, that's due to the opiate epidemic. In other cases, it's whatever the case may be that has caused them to not have custody of the kids or not be able to take care of the kids, of their own kids. So that's where grandparents raising grandchildren came from, because what Sarah does with that program is just phenomenal. She gives them resources that they're looking for. I mean, it's been a long time since they had little kids in the house that they were primary caregivers for. And the same is true with kinship care. And so they need help, they need resources, and we're offering that, and we're finding a big need for it. I'm gonna let Sarah maybe talk another minute or two about credit recovery in our new juvenile justice program collaboration that we have with the juvenile justice. We'll dive into that and get a few more details, but basically that's where the funding has come from for these programs, and it's doing some great work in Wood County. But I think what I'd like to do now is turn it back over to Sarah and ask her a little bit more about what credit recovery is all about. And this is where I say this money has helped us expand what we've been doing, because we've had a credit recovery program for a long time in Wood County, But Sarah has really picked up the ball, and we've added a lot of students to that program.
All right, so the credit recovery program is available to not only Wood County students, but the surrounding counties as well. We service just about every county that borders Wood County right now. And if a student has failed their courses at their home school, they can sign up to take a credit recovery course through the ESC here. So we have several courses available to them to choose from. We are one, if not the only, paper pencil program that is left around. Most other courses that you take have to be done online. So we pride ourselves in the fact that we are still a paper pencil program. Most subjects have a textbook and a workbook. And then the students are given 9 weeks to complete these courses to replace the credits that they have lost at their home high school. So,
and one of the reasons we've stayed paper pencil is because students and parents want it that way.
Yes.
They have a difficult time connecting online, discipline to check in online, do the coursework that way. They're preferring paper pencil, and we're one of the few that still do it that way.
Yes, and a lot of these students were online during the heart of COVID and failed those online courses, and so now they're reverting back to take a paper pencil course. So students are usually referred to us by their high school guidance counselors, and then we see what courses best fit their transcript, and then they are given those courses to complete. Whether or not they have to self-fund them or the school funds them, that's up to each district how they handle that. We have several courses being rewritten right now, so they're being updated. We were able to purchase several new textbooks to add to that program once these courses are rewritten. So it's being updated and revamped for the next few years.
Good. How about the diversion program, the collaboration we've been working on with the juvenile justice program? What's that all about? And again, what are our goals? What are we hoping to try to do and as we work with the juvenile justice?
So prior to this year, prior to September 1, students would be referred to the intervention and diversion program through the Wood County Juvenile Court by school administrators. Parents can self-refer, but if a student is having issues with attendance or behavior, they are sometimes referred to that program in the hopes that they can kind of short-stop them from being involved in the actual juvenile court system as far as having charges filed on them and whatnot. So they came to us, juvenile court came to us last spring and asked if we would be interested in collaborating, and it all worked out that they got a grant to help fund that, and so now they've changed the name of it over on our side of the program to community-based diversion services, so that now all referrals to juvenile court through the intervention and diversion program come through our office first. They are assessed by Peyton Massey Adams, who is our new employee for that program, and they are given kind of a ranking of need. So low level needed cases stay in-house here, and Peyton tries to connect them with the services that they may be needing, or sometimes it's just a simple phone call to say, hey, your attendance is getting to be excessive, you need to start going to school, or you could be facing charges, and that's all those families need, and the kids show up for school. But then she also, if there's a high level need, once she does an assessment on them, then they might be referred right over to the intervention and diversion program at the juvenile court to have a little more intensive services offered to them through the court. But the overall goal of the program, whether they stay here or they go over to intervention and diversion, is to assess the needs of that family, whether it's attendance or behavior or, they get a lot of referrals for vaping and things like that. But it is to attempt to address those needs and issues, try to get those people lined up with the resources that they need in the county, in order to prevent them from having the prosecutor file charges on either the student or the parents, depending on the case, or both, and get those children back in school on you know, their best behavior and not involved in the juvenile court. So that's that program in kind of a nutshell. And having it housed here is a little less intimidating if they get a phone call from the ESC offering them help. Sometimes they're more willing to answer the phone and accept the help versus getting a call from juvenile court, which a lot of times they will either ignore or, you know, they're not as willing to sign on to get the interventions that they need. So
a lot of these families, I would assume, also feel a little threatened by the school district officials and or teachers because they've been talked. The school tries to communicate many times before they get to that point.
Correct.
And then the court is a scary place. So yep. we offer a third party neutral
yes.
ground.
And it's very much stressed that we are here to help them, not to, you know, harm them. So, you know, we do the best that we can to help them and to help them avoid going down the route of being involved with the prosecutor.
So this collaboration started last spring, and as we were beginning to talk about it, but even before that opportunity started, Angie and I and Sarah, we the three of us were talking about what we might be able to do to improve student attendance, and you had brought to us a program that Lake School District was using, mm-hmm. a mentoring program, which is kind of similar. And to some degree, we don't have to go through all the assessment stuff that we do with the juvenile court and a diversion program. But tell us a little bit about what that program is and what, and of course, we're trying to expand that with a small grant into a couple other schools, but mm-hmm. explain the Lake program.
So Jenny Lowe over at Lake Elementary started the MVP mentoring program several years ago. It started by teachers referring students who they see maybe slipping in attendance, maybe they see they have some sort of outside, you know, maybe family stressors happening, and they are able to refer these kiddos to be paired with a mentor. At Lake, they use primarily staff members and then some community members, and they are able to pair these students who are typically K through four when they're referred. I believe they go up through middle school as well, but the bulk of their kiddos are elementary kids. They're paired with a mentor who then spends at minimum an hour a week with them, comes in, pulls them out of class, and doesn't necessarily do missing homework type stuff, which can be done, but mainly just spends time with them, maybe plays some games, or just, you know, has a conversation to try to be a positive adult role model in these kiddos' lives that, you know, they might be lacking at home. Jenny has grown that program to the point that it's just huge. And so we're trying to mirror that program in a couple other chosen districts on a smaller scale, just starting off trying to implement it and hoping that, you know, over time that we also will have the response that they had at Lake and we can have several kiddos who have the need for an adult role model paired with one as well. So
good.
I see a lot of prevention aspects in this, you know, so definitely.
You make a good point, Tina. When we first start talking about prevention in general, most people think about alcohol, drugs, tobacco or nicotine and vaping. And we have really started to do so much more in the area of prevention. And all of this, we know through our surveys, there is a correlational relationship between those risky behaviors as well as mental health and students who are experiencing problems and having issues, whether it's attending school or whether it's some other emotional issue that they're going through. So as Angie had said earlier, that social-emotional learning piece is huge. And if we can address student absenteeism, or if we can address the issues that families are going through, example with grandparents or kinship care, these kids begin to feel much more a part of the school again, much more a part of what's going on. And if they're in school, at school, and attending school, their academic achievement's going to go up, which is better for them, it's better for us, it's better for our community, and we all win. So.
And I can imagine with a court diversion, keeping a child out of the court system, if there's a way to do that, I can only imagine what happens once they get into the system. I mean, say it's truancy or something, because something's going on at home. They're in the court system. I can only imagine that it only goes downhill for them. This offers another chance.
Sometimes that's a downward spiral.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And this gives them another opportunity.
Definitely. Well, I've heard there's been some heartwarming stories, successes as a result of these programs. Sarah, do you have something you want to share, or maybe some tidbits of things that have occurred? I think there may have been a student that got to go to a band trip, maybe because of, as a result of, I mean, something.
Yeah. So there was a student who had a band trip that had paid for most of her way, but then family fell on some hardships. Father had lost his job, and they were referred for counseling services, but then as we kind of dug deep, we found out that, you know, they were kind of in a pickle with this band trip, and they weren't going to be able to go because they couldn't complete their payments. So due to an anonymous donation by a community member, that kiddo was able to go on her band trip and had a wonderful time doing that. The grandparent groups are full of kind of heartwarming successes. Watching the grandparents connect with each other and realize that they aren't alone when they feel like they may be the only one, you know, that's in the situation that they're in. They have really started to connect and build relationships with each other and appreciate the time that they have to just sit and talk and you know, not feel like anybody's judging them in the situation that they're in. And we find that they seem to help each other through a lot of you know, hurdles that they may have, or they share resources with each other that, you know, one has used and another one may need. So that program has been a wonderful program to watch grow and have people connected.
And I may have this wrong, but I think those groups too, isn't there food involved?
Yes.
And even some daycare?
Yes.
And,
there's meetings located at Lake Elementary, at Krim Elementary, and at Rossford Elementary once a month. And they are fed during those meetings with a wonderful meal, and childcare is provided. So they get a little reprieve from their kiddos. We have childcare providers that take care of the kids for about an hour and a half while they get to sit amongst you know, other people in similar situations. And have a meal and just kind of unload for the week. So, yeah.
Wow. Sounds great. It really does. And we're glad to have that resource, those resources here in Wood County. Do we have anything else for the good of the order before we wrap it up today, folks? Any final thoughts?
Well, I would certainly say that we, you know, I'm going to brag just a little bit that we have a great team. I mean, the group that's in this room right now is a team that we've been able to assemble over the past few years. It's a very positive group of people. It's very, very dynamic in that we all have some, we all bring some expertise to the table, and we do a good job in that area, and we collaborate and work well with each other. And that speaks highly of the success that we have and that Sarah has brought to the table with these programs. It's fantastic from my perspective to be able to sit back and say, I believe in her, I believe in what she recommends, and then we talk about things, and Angie's part of that, and Tina, you're a part of that. And we approach it from a good team aspect, but we also know where the expertise lies in each area of the things that we do. So I just want to say thank you to all of you for that, and I'll be quiet.
Well, thank you, Kyle. We appreciate it.
Well, you're folks, lucky you caught me on a Monday morning.
Yes, here we are. It's a Monday.
Friday
we're
at
cheery.
3 o'clock, I may have a different perspective.
Well, next time we'll be back to discuss yet another prevention-related topic. Won't tell you what that is yet, but you'll have to tune in and see. In the meantime, check us out online at www.wcprevention.org, and you can link into our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages there as well. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
This podcast is intended for educational purposes only. Those views expressed on the podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the Wood County Educational Service Center or the Wood County Prevention Coalition.